Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you on this very momentous, awesome, and great day, God, and we just offer ourselves to you, God. God, we just surrender our lives, God, before your feet, God, that it would be a sweet aroma that arises, Lord. So I pray you would capture our hearts, Lord, and you would just take us as we are, and you would help us to come just as we are before your throne. God, we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, when we talk about Easter, you know, I think Easter was kind of like an awkward day for me. I'm just being honest, okay? Like Christmas, you know, like there's just all this commercial stuff on Christmas. There's like this Christmas spirit. I mean, the society makes a big deal out of Christmas, you know, and it feels very Christmassy. And so if there isn't like a warmth or, you know, if like your life isn't making much of Christ being born, because there's only so much you can conjure up feelings of Thanksgiving. Right? You can only conjure up so much thankfulness, just being honest, right? But society helps us to try to, you know, feel warm about Christmas. We light the trees, we do a lot of things. We give each other presents. We have the Christmas, you know, meal, you know, we get together. There's a lot of Christmas that's just like, man, that's awesome. Now, that's just Jesus being born, right? Jesus dying on the cross, that's like an afterthought. Like, let's have Easter. Yeah, we've got to get Good Friday in there somewhere, right? And then we do Good Friday because you can't commercialize Jesus dying for your sins. It's hard to commercialize. You know, what are you going to do? Like, oh, let's give each other presents. Let's sing these songs. You know, there's not a lot you can do on Good Friday except what we did last Good Friday, which is like follow in his footsteps. So then Easter comes, and so we didn't really, I don't know, if you didn't have a Good Friday, I'm not sure if you're going to have a good Easter, right? Because Easter always follows Good Friday. And so you don't even know what to feel. I mean, like, I'm going to try to, like, conjure up feelings of, like, Good Friday. I mean, like, Easter, you know, feeling good about it. I'm like, no. It's just like there is a scriptural warrant and just the way we're supposed to view Easter that's going to, you know, like, open up for us. And that's what I want to do. Like, I want to open up the scriptures. That's what preaching is, right? I don't say anything. I'm not coming here with an opinion. I just want scripture to begin to be opened up for you. And if scripture then is opened up for you, I hope, right? And just my desire, my prayer throughout the week, my prayer this morning is that scripture opens up for you and the Spirit of God teaches you about the meaning and the power of Easter so you don't try to have to conjure up anything, right? So you understand what Easter is all about. Now, if I ask you right now, give me one word about Easter. Like, what is, if you're saying, okay, what is the one word about Easter, okay? I'm just giving you a little hint. It's not the bunnies, all right? It's not the eggs. It's not a basket, all right? If I have to say it, I have to probably say probably Easter, resurrection, probably hope, right? And thank goodness, Scripture talks about hope a whole bunch of times, and particularly in light of Easter. So let's just read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3-4. We're going to talk about new hope, right? There's nothing like, I mean, because we come with a lot of baggage when it comes to hope, right? You know, when, you know, I mean, I talk about this quite a bit. I mean, but when Ellen and I got married, you know, we fought a lot. And truth be told, a lot of times, you know, when people fight, it's because they're disappointed. And that was just never so real. I just remember thinking, wow. And I was just when we got married, you know, I didn't know I was that disappointing. But you ever get this realization? Wow, I'm like really disappointing. Like I'm not the package that I think my wife bought into. And that's pretty disappointing, right? And truth be told, I was like, I don't think she's the package that I bought, right? And so it was like this mutual disappointment. And there's a lot of like bitterness. Like you're not what I thought you were.
right? I remember, like, I was doing marriage counseling with, and the husband didn't want to come, so the lady came. We just wanted to kind of explore what she really was going through. She wasn't a member in our church. She was just doing marriage counseling. And just she said this. She said, you know, she was having a lot of problems. She was talking about that. And she goes, you know, when I met my husband, he was the most wonderful, generous guy I have ever met in my entire life. And I was like, my goodness, that can only go one way. You know what I mean? Like, if I thought I was disappointed, or, you know, I mean, that was just like a killer, right? So you have this idea about the Christian life and what it should be or what's supposed to be. And then there is this, like, what it's not. And then the misunderstanding, just like marriage, right? Like, if you thought that marriage was about this, it isn't, right? And, like, the mystery has been revealed. Ephesians 5 talks about it. It's about the Christ in the church. It's about, like, this gospel thing, right? It's about us being with Christ, right? Now, if you want marriage to be something other than what Scripture talks about marriage being, then it's, like, very disappointing. And hope is crushed. And here's the thing. It's, like, the hard thing. God is all about, and here's just, like, this flash. He's out to crush our hopes. Like, I don't know if you really knew that in the Christian life, there's like this good hope and there's like this not so good hope. It's not evil bad, but it's just less. And God is out there because if it's more than what it should be, like, you're like now entering into like it being an idol, right? It's an idol because, well, you almost have to kind of disobey God. You almost have to kind of like forsake him to do the thing that you're hoping for. So he's out to cry, and that's very painful. And we're going to look at it in Scripture. And God knows it's painful to have hopes that you're not supposed to have a hope about the school you're going to, have a hope about the job you want, have a hope about, you know, what your kitchen's going to look like, have a hope about what how you want your children to turn out. You got just all of these kinds of hopes. And Jesus, God is like, I sent my son to suffer and die because there's this new hope, a living hope, and you have no idea how costly that is. But you know what? That's why you're here. That's why God didn't take you into heaven, because he's got hopes for us. He expects things from us as Christians. Like, he wants our lives to be a certain way. I mean, it's like, flash. I mean, it's not like what I want to do, because I have my hopes, my expectations. But God's got different designs on me, and I don't like that. And we're going to look at why. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know what this says? Like, you were born again. You became a Christian. God gave you this crazy new heart, right? And he says, to a living hope. There is now inside of you, and we're going to look at this, hope is all about desire. Like, if you say, oh, I don't want anything, that means you don't hope for anything. Like, if you are hoping for something, it's because you want it. Like, hope equals desire. That's, and if you, you know, so, and you'll do crazy stuff. Like, when, like, just, and that's why hope and love is like, ooh, it's like two sides of the same coin kind of thing. I remember when I met my wife, and I, you know, like, and you kind of get that real thing. I want to marry her, right? Well, I want to marry her, right? You get this hope, right? And you'll do crazy stuff, right? And that crazy stuff, you just get radical when you, like, you know, fall in love with somebody, and you get this hope kind of thing, right? And now that's secular stuff. So I'm not, this is not preaching, you know, this is just the way the flesh is wired, right? And God uses this design to give us a picture. He calls that first love. Like, don't forget how radical you were when you, like, fell in love with me, right? He says that, he calls that first love. You can be all dutiful, right? Like, I think in marriage, you know, you can kind of get, like, I know, I bring home the bacon, I do this, I do all this for you, honey, blah, 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 right? But if she say, well, but you lost that spark, you know, that's the same thing. Like, there's a hope here that when you are born again, you want Jesus Christ. Like, if you don't know what that feels like, You know, I think this is where you're going to, like, we need to pray down heaven and pray some Holy Spirit into you so you can kind of get a feel for, like, man, like, I know what that feels like. Like, we all need to know what it feels like to be in love with Jesus. Because Jesus is always going back to, hey, remember when you, like, fell in love with me? Things are getting really hard now, but you remember, like, when you fell in love with me and you're really radical and you thought, like, I can do anything for this lady, and then you say, like, you know, to death do us part kind of thing? Okay? That's the Christian life. Nothing else in this world matters other than that. All right, so this is, so we're born again into this new hope, which we could also say into a living desire. So there is, right, this thing in us. So what is that? Okay, well, let's just read John 3. Everybody knows this, right? 3, 5, 7. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. So there is in this new thing, what identifies us as a Christian is that you have new wants and new hopes. It's not that that thing, that flesh, it's not that it's gone. It's just that you have now a new identity. So who you were wanted those other things. Who you are now is wholehearted, singularly focused, and only wants one thing. The object of your desire, that is a new heart. That is your identity. Who you were, it feels like I'm still that person. Paul spends a great deal of time trying to convince you that is not your identity. If you think that's you, if you identify with that and you pursue it, you train up your children to pursue, right? Okay, no, follow your dreams. It's like, that is like one of the most dangerous statements. What dreams? Follow your hope. Which heart is that coming out of? You got to be careful, right, when you say stuff like that, because your life is going to be a series of stuff like that. All right, so Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So who you are is this, you got this new heart, a new factory that produces desires, a new spirit. So now there is a complete person that was risen out of you that is just completely different than the flesh. Got to understand this if you're going to understand Easter. So Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. There's a design here, right? It's not like you can mix that up, right? So God is after this one thing, and he's going to give you a new heart. He expects it to be undivided. And it's just the way, I mean, Jesus suffered and died, right? So that you could be this new being. 1 Peter 2:24. Okay, so now we're beginning to see, right? The whole Good Friday, Easter, the purpose. Let's take a look. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That means when he hung on the tree, okay, and he thought about Henry, he said, okay, Henry, you're going to live, I don't know, let's just say 80 years. You're going to live 80 years. 80 times 365, okay? Okay? I know Gina, you know, she's starting to be on the calendar. Give it to me in the next 30 seconds, okay? All right, 80 times 365. Okay, I'm just joking. But anyway, but you know it's a lot of days, and you multiply that by hours, that's a lot of hours. And every one of those days is filled with lots of sins. And you got to think, if Jesus was hanging on the cross there, and just absorbing, right, bearing upon himself all the sins of all those days, you know that it's important. Whatever Jesus is going to teach us, man, that is absolutely critical, because he could have just paid like 14 years of your sins and taken you home, right? But it's like, no, I'm going to just leave him down there for a lot longer than that, and I'm going to teach him some stuff because heaven is going to be different, right? It's not going to be a bunch of infants crawling around. Heaven's going to be full of people that have tested and genuine faith, and we're going to take a look at that. So, and it says that we might what? Man, he did that so that we would what? Die to sin and live to righteousness. God wants us to say no to lesser things. They're not evil things. You know what sin is? Missing the mark, right? Like if you say, well, you know, today I got a lot of important things to do, but I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time. You know, like then all those things you got to do are lesser things, right? They're lesser. And so what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to send you down. I'm going to bear all those sins. And every day you're going to learn what it is to die to lesser things. That we would what? Rise. Rise. So that the seed gets buried and it dies. And then there's this thing that rises up out of death. Okay? So we would live to righteousness. But you know what? I don't know if you've been to a Christian concert. Like, I go to Christian concerts and they're rocking it, right? And I'm thinking to myself, right? Because sometimes we want to live the victorious Christian life, right? So we go to like a retreat and they're like, man, crapping it. People are like rushing the stage. Like they want resurrection life without Good Friday. They want to do, okay, resurrection power by just jazzing it up. I want you to know, okay, that in this life, if you come to this church, we're not going to ask you to jazz it up. We're not going to try to get you excited for Jesus Christ by clapping your hands. Okay? I'm going to let you up front, right? We're going to help you to follow Jesus. Right? And so that you would learn to what? Deny yourself. Right? Take up the cross. Means say no to things. No to the flesh, no to the world, and say yes to things that are difficult, like washing dishes, going out and inviting people to church, you know, going out, right, and serving one another, and laying down your life, fasting and praying. Like, we want to know the crucified life, and that's why we are here. Why? Because we're so dead serious that you would understand the goal of Christ, which is what? That you would know the resurrection life. You can't know Easter until you really get Good Friday. But if you want Easter, and you want to jazz up your life, okay, and you think you want to just go places, you get pumped up and motivated for the Christian life, and you come back and you're no serious about dying and denying yourself, okay, and taking up the cross, that's not Easter, right? Proverbs 13, hope deferred, right, makes the heart sick. But a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. You know, it's like when you get disappointed, you know what I mean? Like you get disappointed, right? You look at like, you know, I mean, we're disappointed easily, actually. We're disappointed, you know, in our friends, you know, because they hurt us, right? We're disappointed in one another, and it just makes the heart sick. There's just nothing like disappointment that makes you just sick, right? Whether it's your children, your parents, your siblings. I mean, we can go on and on. I know that you're a kindred spirit with me on this, and you know what disappointment is. And you know, it just makes you sick. And you know, when you get what you want, like you get what you want, it's like, man, it's like drinking this, it's like life almost, like, man. And so we think, so we have this test. So disappointment, bad, right? Getting what we want, good, right? And we kind of leave it at that. Like, we don't even care if, you know, like, what heart wants what. the last part, to turn away from evil, is an abomination to fools. Like, if our heart wants, you know, this kind of kitchen, and we want that, and we want this, and, you know, like, we wanted to get that promotion, but somebody else got the award. I mean, like, our hearts are getting sick. I'm so disappointed. And so then something arises in us, and you know that that disappointment is probably spot on. And it never, we're not trained. We're not trained to be disappointed. What Jesus wants us to understand is in that moment when you're severely disappointed and your expectations are crushed, right? It's got to dawn on you. Man, maybe God wants to kill this thing. Seriously. You know, like, there is a crucified life. And you know that because, you know, like, there was jealousy and envy and all kinds of, like, just crud that was coming out when I got crushed. And it's like, you know, and we don't submit to that, though, right? We don't turn away from that because it looks like, man, that would be foolish. Man, I got to pick myself back up. So what am I talking about? All right, we're talking about two hearts that are at war. Okay, James 4, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You know what it is? Like, you ask Jesus, like, help me to get this thing that I want. And then God doesn't give it to you. And you go, oh, God, you're not good. Like, I really like this girl, or I really like this house, or I really like that promotion. I really like that job. I would really like, God is like, man, no. And here's the thing. That no comes with, like, so much love. So much love. You know, like, if, you know, I was actually talking to my, you know, my youngest daughter, and was like, you know, we're talking about her taking this class. Right, this, you know, I get, you know, like, all the other two daughters of mine took it, and it's a Spanish class. And if you're homeschooling, there's not a lot of Spanish, you know, classes you can take. And, like, this teacher, though, she's like a beast, okay? It's, like, hard, okay? Like, hard in that she expects, you know, stuff, like, you, like, actually turning your homework and stuff like that. And it's, you know, so my daughter is, like, seeing my other two, like, go through this. And we said, hey, you got to take it. She's like, no, right? And she's like, no. Like, who said I wanted to take Spanish? I want to take, you know, like, French, or, you know. And it was just this crazy thing. And then, you know, I said, we were just walking this out, you know, and said, hey, like, that's hard. Here's easy. Like, do you, like, if you grew up and you became a mom, like, would you want your kids to do, like, would you say, oh, baby, oh, that's so hard. Like, okay, no, like, forget that. Like, let's go and do, like, the easy thing. She goes, no, I wouldn't want that. Do you think I would be like a, like, loving dad if I said, no, I know that's hard. Wow, I can't even believe I wanted you to do something hard, right? No, baby, just do what's good for you, right? You do you, right? I mean, would that be loving if I was like that as a dad for you, right? I mean, are you the kind of person that's like knows how to self-parent and stuff like that? She goes, no, that wouldn't be loving at all. And then she started confessing all the way. She was, like, conniving about, like, how she was going to try to get out of it later on. And she just, like, poured out. It's a beautiful moment for us. And God's like that, you know? It's like, he doesn't want us. He knows what's best. I promise you, you're going to be here when I am. Like when you're 50, or whatever, you look back at your life and you're going to go, God, thank you for doing stuff that I would never volunteer for. Never volunteer for. All right, so there's this war, right, of desire. We want it easy. We want what we want. And man, and it's a fight. It's a fight. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, right? The thing is, like, I don't know if you're there, right? Like, the Easter life is about people. It's not like you're holier than thou. I mean, honestly, like, you're not doing this, you know, because you've arrived. Like, if you have lots of biblical knowledge, you went to seminary, you did some things, right? It's not about that. You know what it is? right? Is the old identification, like old desires, did you put that to rest? I mean, like, is that submitted? Because I can tell you, if it's not, you probably can't pray. You know why? Because the Lord's Prayer, Jesus, you know what Jesus says? Go into your closet, shut the door, right? And pray like this. Like, your name, God, not my name, but your name be hallowed, right? May that be special. That's what holy means, uncommon, right? Special, above all things. Your kingdom come, right? That means I'm under your rule, right? That, and then thy will be done, right? Means, God, that prayer right there, thy will be done. God, like, if this is what you want from me, right? If you want me to follow you, but I got to, like, say no to these stuff, and I got to say yes to stuff I don't want, God, just, God, your will be, like, discipline me, God, right? Discipline me so I can do that, because I want to be with you. I mean, that's why you died, so I can be with you, right? Atonement, at-one-ment means oneness with Christ, and you can't, like, Jesus is going this way. You're like, oh, I don't know, like, I don't like that. Then you're not following. You know what I mean? You're not following. He's going. That's what Matthew 16 is. This is the gospel. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Like, if you really want to do this thing, you got to say no to stuff. Like, no to entertainment, no to smartphones being in your bedroom, no to looking at some shopping stuff all the time, right? No to stuff, right? And yes to what? Like, take up the cross, yes to serving, yes to stuff you don't want to do. Why is Jesus doing this? So we could follow him, because there's Good Friday, but folks, Sundays are coming. Right? Sunday's coming. There's a resurrection. Right? You begin to, right, discover the power. Romans 6:7. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. And I'm not like naive. I don't think that many of you, right, consider yourselves dead to sin. Dead to sin is stuff that misses the mark. These are the lesser things of life that steal the margins, right, of the good stuff. There's no book, okay, without margins, right? No. Okay, if you wrote a book from, like, the full page, like, 30% of a book is just margins, okay? And you can't write a book without margins. Considering yourself dead to sin is, I promise you, God, I'm going to keep those margins in place, and I'm not going to write a story of my life that takes away from those margins, because they belong to you. And when you contain that story within the margins, that's a good story. That's at least the beginning. So let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. I tell you what, if you want to know, like, how the flesh operates, we just did this test not that long ago. Like, go to the ice cream aisle, where many of you may identify with this, and then try to pick in less than 30 seconds, like, your favorite ice cream. Okay? You know what your flesh is going to try to do? It's going to want the very best. You'll spend a very long time in front of that ice cream, okay, freezer glass, and you're going to go, my goodness, this is really, really hard, because you want the very best for the flesh. Nothing, oh, precious, nothing is good enough for you, baby, right? You go to the restaurant, pull out the menu, right? Man, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Oh, flesh, only the best for you, baby, right? And you're going to rack your brain, right? So what do? You do family style, right? You do family style, what Asians do, right? You just go and do family style. Baby, if it's not this, you're going to get the whole kit and caboodle, right? You don't have to just pick one. And that was like the greatest invention to appease the flesh, right? I mean, sin reigns. You want to get a project done, you got to ask the flesh. Hey, flesh, what do you think? I got to clean up this shed. Or, you know, obviously, like, Roger, he's, like, pretty good at this, right? And you see, I was so convicted because I was like, man, I got to clean up my shed. But the flesh hasn't given me permission to do so. Students, you know what I'm talking about, right? When I was in school, right, one day before the test, hey, flesh, is it time? No. Hour before, right, I have to go to sleep? No, you're not going to do it yet. Okay, it's past my bedtime. All right, I'll give you permission. Go and study for that test now. Like, we're so bound by it. Like, hey, what do you mean to do? Who should I date? Who, you know, like, what should I do today? Like, you always have to ask the flesh. Like, you know, like, and it doesn't, like, disgust us. It doesn't. Like, you'll never be disgusted. Oh, I can't believe this. Like, man. Dove ice cream bars? Are you kidding me? I'm so disgusted. Like, we don't. We're not disgusted by it because our flesh loves that stuff. And Jesus says, don't let it reign. Don't live your day asking permission, okay? Follow Jesus. Right? He's going to give you, like, there's a desire there. Like, that's the power. Romans 6:13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. This is war talk, right? In this life, you're trying to take ground, right? This is war, right? There's damage in war, and it feels like it. When you deny the flesh, right? When somebody brings a word of correction to you, you're like, ah, man, are you kidding me? How about you, dude? Like, hey, you got no room to talk, right? Like, you can't take that. Man, you're going to try to, right? There is a war, and our duty is to actually injure the flesh. Like, bring it down, right? If you want a painless Christian life, denying and taking up is painful, folks. It's worth it. Here's the way I would say that Christ would say, okay? He says, God made you a Christian so you would know him. To know him is to taste death and to find life, right? But we can't, like, want more of the Christian life, but I'm not into the death thing. Like, I'm not into denying myself thing. That caps out real quick. And that's why even baptism, that's what, you know, we were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. How do we walk in the newness of life? It's not to celebrate harder, sing louder, clap longer, but it's to be buried. That's how we celebrate the newness of life. And it's not going to go quietly. You're not going to want to do this thing. And you can't do this thing by yourself. That's why there's a church. That's why, you know, you say, look, I want this thing. I want to do this thing, right? Now, how is living hope equal to love? Okay? Let's take a look at this. Romans 5. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So here it comes. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. You know what suffering does? It produces. You know what character means? It means something proved. It's tested, right? There's only one kind of faith, okay, that God wants in heaven. It's the tested stuff. We're here to prove, right, that this is real, that Christ is worth all of this. And God, right? I mean, even the Exodus, the wilderness, is Remember what God said? He says, I made you wander in the wilderness all these 40 years so that I test you to know what's in your heart. Right? Like, you get in touch with this thing. And what does it say? Arising out of that test is that living hope. Like, you don't conjure that up, right? Like, if you want, like, to be this hopeful Christian, like, living hope stuff, but you want to, like, park, right, testing and all that, you can't, right? That's not what this is about. You know why? Because here it is. Hope does not put us to shame. Why? This, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Man, God, keep it coming. Keep it coming, right? Man, like, you're doing this thing. God, you know why? Because when it comes and you don't have an eye for it, right, you're going to go, God, like, you're going to, you know why? The flesh is going to go, man, stop this thing. He doesn't even like you. No, he's doing this thing because he loves you. And here's the real thing, right? God just, as he does this, he's just pouring it out, pouring out love. Right? I mean, you know, we were just talking last Sunday, Roger and I, you know, we were just talking about the journey that God has been, you know, taking up for him. And, you know, and there was just a kindredness there because, you know, it's like, no matter what that was, how hard that may have been, you know, and God pours his love and you just go, like, you just, oh, man, that's what Job must have thought. God, it's just too wonderful. God, you're amazing. You love me so much, you know? You know, it's like, I'm sorry. You know, I just thought so ill of you for doing all this. And I can't explain it. We can't explain it, right? You just know, deep down inside, God, you love me. My son, Hebrews 12, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when he reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. You know what I pray? You know, like, if you're praying, thy will be done, for his name to be hallowed. Are you kidding me? I know myself. You know what I pray? God, discipline me. Discipline me. Don't let me get away. Right? Don't let me get away not following you. Don't. Like, God, before this thing just dies, can you imagine when you don't want that anymore? When you, like, don't even want to follow him and it's not even worth it, you know? God help you, like, if you don't want to follow. You know what I mean? Like, that desire to really... Like, you know, you don't want to hear from people. You don't want to hear correction. You know, like, you just, you know, like, you don't want to hear anything. You just want to do your thing. Right? And it's just like, no. You're like, God, oh, by the way, like, if you're going to discipline me, like, please discipline my family. If you come to this church, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to pray that you, God, discipline them. Don't let, I'm like, God, just do stuff. Do stuff in their lives so they just would keep following you, right? And know how worth it is, right? So that nothing else creeps up and go, well, you know what? I can't follow him anymore because I like this other thing too much. God, don't let that happen. First Peter 1. I love this. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word rejoice, right, is the word brag, right? It's to boast, right? You know what you're doing? You know, it's like the difference between, like, football camp or sports camp, where you have to pay. I had this one secretary that I knew. Her entire salary went into, right, training up her son in sports. All of her salary. Right? And then he would, like, even go overseas and stuff. I mean, like, it was like a crazy amount of money. Right? Like, why? And the thing about it is, you have to try out for that. You have to try out to put yourself and your son to some rigor. I mean, you have to, like, be picked for that elite camp. And then you have to spend tons of money doing it. And that's different than labor camp. That's different than labor camp. Labor camp, you come away wasted. Sports camp, you come away built up. And Christ says, this is like, you're here to learn how to be an athlete. That's what he compares this life. You're athletes, Christians, right? And here's what Peter is saying. You better brag that you're in this sports camp. This is not labor camp, right? And if you go, well, I don't know, that sounds a lot like labor camp, so I'm just going to park myself over here and not really follow in that because that seems hard. Look, sports camp in many ways is harder than labor camp. I'm not talking about concentration camp now, right? Why? I mean, it's rigorous. Here's the thing. God doesn't waste an ounce of suffering in our lives. Never. Never will he waste. God's perfect. I promise you, when you get to heaven, you're going to go, God, I thought this was really a waste of time. Not one ounce of whatever you experience in suffering and pain will ever be wasted by Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice, we brag, we boast. God, you're doing this for me, right? I feel it. You're bringing it on, right? What does it say? Though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor. And why all that? Because 1 Peter 1:8 says this. Though, and we have no understanding why this is such a mystery to us. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice, right? In the same word, you're bragging with such joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You're going, I don't even know how he does it. I just know, man, I went through some stuff. I just love him like crazy. He just poured this love into me, right? I just, God, I love you. In 2 John 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. You know why Jesus says, right, like go and make disciples, teach them to what? Obey all that I've commanded. Like that's a disciple. That's like what it's to follow. And that's why he says, hey, his commandments, they're not like a litany of like do's and don'ts. They're like stuff like, hey, like love one another just as I have loved you. Go into your closet and pray, right? Fast, right? Serve, right? Confess your sins to one another. Be transparent, right? Bring words of rebuke and correction. This is the commandments of the Lord. This is love. This is love. When was the last time like you welcomed that? If you didn't welcome that, you didn't welcome love. You don't welcome, right, people to be speaking into you. Like, you know, like, oh, no, if you're going to speak to me, you better be perfect. Better not raise your tone. You know, like, man, love, right, is to walk in the commandments. You got to forgive. Jesus is really serious about stuff. You got to apologize. Go and reconcile. Don't even come here. Right? Go lay your gift at the altar. Go, right? And reconcile. This is what following Jesus is about. This is Easter. Because as we do that, you're going to go, oh man, this, like, I don't want to do that. And then you do that, and you're going to go, God, I'm going to do this, but I need you. I just need,
Like, you pitch your sail. That's all God is saying. Pitch your sail. The wind will come. Wind will come. Not in the manner that we want, okay, nor, right, the way we want it. But it's going to be there. And that's the Christian life. Pitch your sail that way. Take up, commit to, right? Lay down your life, right? So you can understand Easter. And I'll close with this verse. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Do you really want to know the power of his resurrection? Here's the thing. The seed's got to get buried, right? It's got to die before resurrection happens. You want to know the power of his resurrection? What Jesus is asking you is give up your life for him. Be willing to be buried. Let your flesh, right, begin to take up arms for this war. And if you do, right, this is what you're saying. Everything else in this world is just rubbish. It's just nothing. If you think it's important, it's nothing. That feeling you get, right? But it feels so important to me. Man, this is important to me. Kill it. Lay it down. Lay it down. So that you what? May gain Christ. That I may know him. I mean, no, God, I've walked a mile in your shoes, right? Thank God. God, help me to walk another one. You would know the power of his resurrection, right? And share the privilege of sharing in his sufferings. And then what? Being transformed. Becoming like him in his death. A new thing will rise up in your life, right? Day by day, just a newness, right? Like, you can't expedite it. You can't, like, you know, you don't go to a camp. You don't get to a retreat. You don't come one Sunday and then all of a sudden everything is like hunky-dory. No, that's not it. Like, we walk and follow, right? And we help each other to do this. And that's the Christian life. That is Easter, right? Easter comes after Good Friday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, just this life, God, that you promised, kind of just your word, just opening this up for us. God, just give us courage. Right now, we can't do any of this like without the Holy Spirit being here. So I pray now, God, that you're just the Holy Spirit, just even as we now just rededicate our lives to you. God, if there's just this hardness, unwillingness to just give our lives completely to you, God, because it doesn't want to be buried and it doesn't, God, this living hope, God, just help us right now, God, just that we would just know, God, just know a new thing, God, that we would walk in the newness of life. God, that is the walk of the Holy Spirit. So I just pray now for the Holy Spirit to just help, God, just loosen the grips, God, right now. Like, loosen the grips over just self-glory, right? The pursuit, like, to fulfill the desire of the flesh. Just help us to renounce that right now in Jesus' name. So I pray that right now. Just if there's any of us that's following that path to make a name for ourselves, that we can pray along with just the saints here, God, that your name, not our name, would be hallowed. And God, that we would submit ourselves for your kingdom. And God, that we would desire what you desire, be true to who we really are. And so I pray now, God, just if, you know, like, just speak to us to lay down, God, our schedules. So that those who have erased the margins of our lives, that would just come back in and that would be preeminent, God. If there's anything we're holding on to, God, that is disobedient to your commands, like sins that we're engaging in, God, as we lay them down so we can discover the power of this resurrected life, God, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to come right now and just move the hearts to lay this down. So as we go into prayer and just praise, Lord, God, I just pray, God, that you would do this work. God, we're not here to psych one another up. We're not here, God. We're just here for your Holy Spirit, Lord, just to move mightily. God, if there's anyone here, God, anyone here just holding on to this, God, just the hope of the flesh, God, just come and wreck it in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just do a beautiful thing. God, and just, and I pray now, just as we, God, just for this Wednesday, Lord, I mean this Easter, Lord, God, this Sunday, God, that you would now just, God, bring about this new hope, God, this new love, God, that comes, God, in following you. God, just come. God, do a new thing in our hearts, Lord. God, just bring hope. God, just let hope rise as we turn our lives over to you completely, completely, Lord. Just, God, just don't let any of us, okay, just hold back, Lord. Just completely turn it over to you, that you would do your thing now. God, in Jesus' name, amen.